As we did last Sunday night when Bishop Ken was here, I interviewed him just to give you a chance to get to know him a wee bit better. And I'm going to do the same tonight with Ian. The only difference was Bishop Fanta had prior warning. Ian doesn't. And so he doesn't know what I'm going to ask him. But Ian, if you'd like to come forward. And
these are like the chairs they used on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
So yeah.
Do the questions go up in value each time?
They do. They become easier. Ian, it's great to welcome you to Strabane.
Thanks, Mark.
How long have you been in OMA?
Less than 2 years. So we came in February 2015. And we came to OMA from Drumcliffe in County Sligo, Yeats' country. W.B. Yeats is buried in the graveyard, so it was a bit of a tourist hotspot, which gave lots of opportunities for ministry. Enniskillen. And before that, well, I'm a native of Carrickfergus in County Antrim. I always think the Lord has a sense of humour, because when I went to be interviewed for the curacy of Enniskillen, I remember saying to the rector, it's an awful long way west to Enniskillen. And the rector said, well, sure, if you come for a few years, you can head back to Belfast or wherever after that. But the Lord took us the other direction. He took us west again. And we're still in the west, and I'm married to a woman from Enniskillen now as well, so we might be in the west for a little bit longer.
Good, good. You weren't always ordained, though. You're like myself, you had a previous occupation before ordination, is that correct? Yes?
We are human.
We are human.
Yes.
What was that?
I studied statistics of all things in Glasgow University, and when I graduated from there, I worked for the Bank of Scotland for 3 years, back in the days when it was still semi-respectable to work in a bank. I knew before I joined that it probably wasn't going to be a lifetime career, and I'm not sure I was very good at it. In fact, I'm quite sure I wasn't, but I'm always very thankful to the Lord for those few years. I think they've stood me in good stead, and it was a good experience to have.
So you were a numbers man?
That's right.
Is numbers your favourite book in the Bible?
No.
Praise the Lord. We pray for anyone whose favourite book would be Numbers. What would your favourite book be?
I think probably my favourite book is Philippians. I preached on Philippians. It was the last book that I preached on in Drumcliffe. And I think one of the things I love about it is just the real warmth of the Apostle Paul that comes through. Paul is sometimes, I think, falsely presented as quite a sort of a hard-nosed character, and there's no doubt he was a man of grit and determination, but in Philippians we really see his love and his friendship for his brothers and sisters in Christ coming through, and there are so many memorable verses. In fact, Fanta was sharing some with us as a clergy team, a local clergy team, just the other evening. I think my favourite is probably Your Attitude Should Be the Same as That of Christ Jesus, and then where Paul goes on to illustrate how Christ gave up his glory for our sakes, but the day will come when every knee will bow. So I think that's a purple passage for me.
Good. Yeah, Philippians would be probably my favourite book in the whole of the scriptures as well. A couple of quick fire ones. Ian, favourite TV show?
Oh, Countdown.
Okay. You know, does anybody recognise this man? He has been on TV. No? You're not famous in Strabane.
Hasn't been.
What programmes were you on? You were on Countdown?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a quiz show freak. So I've been twice on Countdown. Numbers are my favourite. I've been on The Weakest Link as well, actually, and got down to the last two. And at the end, Anne came up to me and said, well, looks like your prayers didn't work, doesn't it? And I said to her, oh, Anne, give us a hug, and threw my arms around her. And she wasn't too impressed, but I got a hug off Anne Robinson anyway.
Did you claim the fame? favourite food?
Ooh, there's quite a few. barbecued ribs would be right up there.
Okay. Favorite pizza topping?
Oh, pepperoni.
Okay. He's been up on my estimation.
I'm not sure what's in it. I've never been sure what pepperoni is, but it tastes good.
Not everybody will be aware, but not only were you rector of Drumcliff, you were also Archdeacon of Elphin and Arda.
That's right.
And so your move to OMA wouldn't have been a natural progression as regards career within the church. So it had to be a strong call. And how did that call to OMA come about?
I think we'd probably sensed for a little while towards the end of our time in Sligo that we had seen through a number of projects, and there just seemed to be a sort of a natural break in the timing there, and there seemed to be from the Lord an opportunity just where he was saying, what you've done here, it's complete. And now it's time for someone else to build upon what you've done. And I think we felt going there, actually, that we were doing exactly that, that we were building on what someone else had done before us. And we saw OMA advertised, and we sort of twitched the ears up a little bit and thought, I wonder if that might be a move that could work. And phoned up, spoke to one of the nominators, a man called Paddy Quinn, who's one of our diocesan readers in Derry, and just very quickly sensed from Paddy that there was a connection there in terms of sort of who they were looking for and what we might be able to offer. I think the real moment of discernment came when we went and met with the parochial nominators. It was billed to us just as an evening of coming to get to see around a little bit, but in fact it turned into a full grilling, even worse than this one. And my wife Amanda was with me, and she wasn't expecting to be interviewed, but it nearly turned into both of us being interviewed together. And there were even a few tears shed in the course of that evening, just as we sensed the Lord moving and confirming in us that this was right. So there was something quite deep-seated, I think, within us that emerged from that evening. And as Amanda and I went home, we were in separate cars because we'd been coming from different directions, and we were on the phone to each other saying, what do you think? And I think we both just felt the Lord might be in this, and things progressed from there, and it came to pass.
Well, for us within the rural deanery and within the diocese, it's good to have you on the clergy team, and it's good to have Ian so close as well. Then the Church of Ireland, for those of you that aren't Church of Ireland, there's not too many here, but just in case, we have rural deaneries, which is groups of churches that sort of support and help each other, and Ian is in the same one as me, and it's good to have you in it. Ian, you're not the last one. You're near enough.
Eden Derry would be a little bit further afield.
Another quiz man.
So that means you're the first one, does it?
I'm the first. Yes. First. Always. just one final question, and then I'll let you off the hot seat for now. I'm going to ask you two questions. Number one, how did you come to faith in Christ? And number two, what is your passion or your drive in ministry?
I might say a little bit about the first one later on, if that's okay.
Okay, that's okay, then we'll leave that one.
My passion and drive in ministry, I think it's about relationship. I think it's about relationship with the Lord and relationship within each other, with each other within the life of the church. I think those are the things that we're called to. And I think that's my heart. I want to see people come to the Lord to discover life and faith and hope in him. And I want to see people within the church discovering what it means to be a part of God's family, because we're given a new bloodline when we come to faith in Christ. We're given a bloodline that's through him. We become brothers and sisters, and I long to see a church that expresses that practically in terms of our support and our love for one another. And I was really struck recently, we had the Archbishop of Armagh. I'm not sure if you were at that clergy gathering, Mark?
No, I was in South America when that one happened.
That's a good excuse. He came and spoke to the clergy in our diocese, and the thing that he said that really resonated with me is that we as clergy need to encourage everyone who's a member of the Church of Ireland to see ourselves, all of us, as frontline evangelists. And I thought that was a great line. That if we want to see our country, our province, changed, transformed by Christ, that each and every one of us needs to be willing to speak for him on the front line, whatever our front line is, wherever that is. It could be in the local shops, could be at home, in our workplaces, wherever it might be, that we're ready to witness to the light and the life of Christ wherever we find ourselves. Frontline evangelists. Imagine the difference that would come if each of us took that responsibility seriously. I think that would be a huge thing.
That's great. Thank you, Ian. And then because you dodged the first question, I've got one more for you.
Okay.
How can we as a church pray for you?
I think for perseverance and resilience are two of the biggest things. Life's busy. We have a young family. We have two children, 8 and 4 years old. And we're in a parish with a lot of activity, which we enjoy, but it can be demanding. And sometimes there are moments when you come when you think, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I just can't do this. And so I think that perseverance that produces character, that produces hope, and hope doesn't disappoint. So I think that would be a good prayer for me.
We will challenge for us all to keep Ian and Amanda and their family in our prayers. Thank you, Ian. And give them a clap.